Colonel, here, sir, in here.
Desolation.
There's a snake.
He's harmless. Let him go. The last creature left alive here.
Table's late for dinner. Food still on the plates.
Aye, no one to eat it now. Oh, that pretty, pretty woman. I suppose the child too. I heard there was a child. Though no one ever saw her.
What do we do now?
Check that the bodies have been taken away. Lock up. There's not much we can do.
Look around, sir.
I suppose we ought. Barney! There's a child here.
Mercy, who is she?
I'm Mary Lennox. I have called and called, but nobody has come.
It's the child no one ever saw. She's actually been forgotten.
Why was I forgotten? Why does nobody come?
Poor little kid. There is nobody left to come.
But where is my Ayah?
I think we'd better take her to the English clergyman and his wife. Then someone will have to decide what's to become of her. Mary? Mary, you can't stay here alone. We'll take you to some very nice people who have children of their own. Now, don't be frightened.
I'm not in the least frightened.
The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett. Dramatized in 5 episodes by Judy Allen. Episode 1.
Now there's stones for a path, and there's scarlet hibiscus blossoms for the flower bed.
What are you doing?
I'm making a garden.
You're not allowed to. You don't belong here.
Go away.
My mother doesn't want you here. She doesn't like you.
Then I don't like her.
You haven't got a mother. She's dead. Everyone in your house is dead.
Leave me alone.
Why don't you put a heap of stones there and pretend it's a rockery? There. In the middle.
Go away! I don't want boys! Go away!
You're going to be sent home at the end of the week. And we're glad. And
I'm glad too. Where is home?
She doesn't know where home is. It's England, of course. You are going to your uncle, Mr. Archibald Craven.
I don't know a thing about him.
Mr. Craven lives in a great big old house in the country. He's a monster, and everybody's frightened of him.
I don't believe you.
Mistress Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and marigolds all in a row. Mistress Mary...
It is good of you to let Mary travel with you. I hope she won't be a trouble to you.
I'm sure she won't. It's too long a voyage for a child to take unaccompanied.
She's such a plain child, and her mother was such a pretty creature. It's very sad now that poor beautiful soul is gone, to remember that many people never knew she had a child at all.
Where am I to take her when we reach England?
Mr. Craven is sending his housekeeper, a Mrs. Medlock, to meet her off the boat.
Mrs. Medlock?
I believe the child will be glad to get away from my brood.
It will be her first time in England, I imagine.
Yes. I wonder what they'll make of her.
Well, Mrs. Medlock, I have brought you Mary Lennox. She's the child sitting on her luggage over there, waiting.
And we'd heard her mother was a beauty. She hasn't had in much of it down, has she, ma'am?
Perhaps she will improve as she grows older. Children alter so much.
She'll have to alter a good deal. And there's nothing likely to improve a child at Mithelthwaite Manor, if you ask me.
She has been through a tragedy. You know, I expect, about the cholera.
We heard her mother died of it.
Her father, too. And her Aya, and most of the other servants. Oh, it was a terrible business.
That's why Mr. Craven said he would take the child. Not that he's likely to trouble much about her. He never troubles about no one.
She can be a difficult child. But then, she has had a difficult time staying with the clergyman's family.
I don't stand no nonsense from young ones. Come along now, Miss Mary. We've a long journey to take, all the way to Yorkshire. Have you never met your uncle?
No.
Never heard your father and mother talk about him?
No.
Well, he lives in Mithelthwaite Manor on the edge of the moors in Yorkshire. And that's where you'll live from now on. Are you paying attention?
Yes.
The house is 600 years old. It's a grand big place in its gloomy way.
I know nothing about such places.
Hey, but you're like a little old woman. Don't you care?
Doesn't matter whether I care or not.
Well, you're right enough it doesn't. Needn't expect to see your uncle because 10 to 1 you won't.
Very well.
Most of the time he's away. And when he's home, he talks to nobody. He's got no pleasure from all his money and that big place. Till he married.
Married? Have I an aunt there?
She was your father's sister. A sweet, pretty thing she was. After the tragedy, he was near mad with grief.
What tragedy?
She died, that's what. Since that day, he's had no interest in anything or anybody. So you needn't expect to have a fuss made of you.
No, I won't. Where are we going now?
We must drive across the moor to the manor.
What is a moor?
If you want to know what a moor is, look out of the window.
It's hard to see in the dark. It's not the sea, is it?
No, not it. It's just miles and miles of wild land.
It sounds like the sea.
That's just the wind blowing through the bushes.
I don't think I like it.
It's a wild, dreary place, to my mind. Though there's plenty that do like it.
I don't like it.
See that bit of light twinkling over there?
I think so.
That's the light in the lodge by the gates. We shall be at the house in a bit. Good evening, Mr. Pitcher.
I'll have her trunk brought in presently. You were to take her to her room. He doesn't want to see her. He's going to London in the morning.
As long as I know what's expected of
me. What's expected of you, Mrs. Medlock, is that you make sure he's not disturbed and doesn't see what he doesn't want to see.
Lennox. There's hundreds of rooms in this house, and there's two staircases and more corridors than you'll ever have seen before.
What is in all those rooms?
They're nothing to do with you. You'll see the gardens tomorrow, but when you're in the house, don't go wandering and poking about. Mr. Craven won't have it.
I shall not want to go poking about.
Now, this room and the next are where you'll live. See, the fire's been lighted and your supper's on the table.
I'm not hungry.
Nonsense. Now you must keep to these two rooms, except if you're going right outside into the garden. Don't you forget that.
Very well. Who are you?
I'm Martha. Did I wake you?
What's all that?
Out there, out the window?
Yes.
That's the moor. Does he like it?
No, I hate it.
That's because he's not used to it. I thinks it's too big and bare now, but they will like it.
Do you?
Aye, that I do. In spring and summer, when gorse and broom and heather's in flower, it smells of honey and there's such a lot of fresh air. I wouldn't live away from the moor for anything.
You're a strange sort of servant.
I know that. If there was a grand missus at this house, I shouldn't have been even one of the under housemaids. I'm too common and I talk too much Yorkshire. There's our washing water and towel.
Are you going to be my servant?
I'm to do the housemaid's work up here and wait on you a bit, but you won't need much waiting on.
Who's going to dress me?
Can I dress the same?
What do you mean? I don't understand your language.
Oh, I forgot. Mrs. Medlock told me I'd have to be careful, you wouldn't know what I was saying. I mean, can't you put on your own clothes?
No, I never did in my life. My eye dressed me, of course.
Well, it's time I should learn. My mother always said she couldn't see why grandpeople's children didn't turn out fair fools, what with nurses and being washed and dressed and took out to walk as if they were puppies.
It was different in India.
Hey, I can see it were different. I dare say it's because there's such a lot of blacks there. When I heard you was coming from India, I thought you was a black too.
What? You thought I was a native? You daughter of a pig?
Hey, who are you calling names? That's not the way for a young lady to talk.
You dared to think I was a native? They are not people, they're just servants who must salaam to you.
A black's a man and a brother, and I was fair pleased to think I was going to see one close. There you are, no more black than me, for all you're so yellow.
You know nothing about India. You know nothing about anything.
Hey, I didn't mean to make you vexed. I don't know anything about anything, just like you said. I beg your pardon, miss. Oh, but do stop crying. It's time for the breakfast. I'll help thee with the clothes if thou likes.
Good.
All my sisters and brothers look after themselves. It's only the baby as gets his clothes put on for him.
I have no brothers or sisters.
Eh. Hey, you should see us all. There's 12 of us, and me father only gets 16 shilling a week. I can tell you, mother's put to it to get porridge for them all. Mother says she thinks they eat the grass, same as the wild ponies do. Our Dickon, he's 12 years old and he's got a young pony he calls his own.
Where did he get it?
He found it out on the moor with its mother when it was a little one. And he began to make friends with it and it got to like him, so it follows him about and it lets him get on his back. Now then, the breakfast's on the table in next room.
I don't want that.
That doesn't want that porridge?
No.
Put a bit of treacle on it or a bit of sugar.
I don't want it.
If our children was at this table, they'd clean it bare in 5 minutes. They scarce ever had their stomachs full in their lives. They're as hungry as young hawks and foxes.
I don't know what it is to be hungry.
Well, it would do thee good to try it. I've no patience with folks as sits and just stares at good bread and meat. Don't I just wish Dickon and the rest of them could have what's here?
Why don't you take it to them?
It's not mine. And this isn't my day out. I get my day out once a month, same as the rest. Then I go home and clean up for mother and give her a day's rest. Hey, thou must miss thy mother.
I used to see her sometimes. She was very pretty. She wore lovely clothes, full of lace.
Mm. Can I not eat anything?
I'll drink some tea, and I might have a little toast.
Then you wrap up warm and run out and play. It'll do you good and give you some stomach for your meat.
Out? You mean out on the moor?
No, in the grounds. You'll not have seen much arriving in the dark like you did, but there's parkland all round this house, and a wood, and gardens aplenty.
But why should I go out on a day like this?
Well, if it doesn't go out, they'll have to stay in. And what has that got to do inside?
All right. I will go out. Who will go with me?
You'll go by yourself. You'll have to learn to play like other children does when they haven't got sisters and brothers. Our Dickon goes off on the moor by himself and plays for hours. He's got sheep on the moor that know him, and birds as comes and eats out of his hand. However little there is to eat, he always saves a bit of his bread to coax his pets.
I suppose I can go and look at the birds. They'll be different from the birds in India.
There we are. Space enough here.
Where am I to go?
If that goes round that way, they'll come to the gardens. There's lots of flowers in summertime, but there's nothing blooming now.
Very well.
Oh, and one of the gardens is locked up. They'll not be able to go in there.
Why?
Mr. Craven had it shut when his wife died so sudden. It was her garden. Now he won't let no one go inside.
How can a garden be shut up?
Some of the gardens has walls round them with doors. Mr. Craven locked the door to that one. He dug a hole and buried the key. They say even he has forgotten where he hid it. There's Mrs. Medlock's bell ringing for me. I must run. Off you go.
It's all so grey. Not like India. No bright blooms. I believe that is a fountain in that pool. There's no water coming out of it. It's all so bare and ugly. Now here is a wall. Is this the closed garden? No, the gate is open.
Hey! Who are you?
What is this place?
One at Kitchen Gardens.
And what's that, through that other green door?
That's another oven. And there's orchard t'other side of that.
Can I go in them?
If thou likes. But there's nought to see.
If Mr. Craven liked his wife so much, why did he hate her garden? Why would he lock it and bury the key? I wonder if I shall ever see him. If I do, I won't like him, and he won't like me. People never like me, and I never like people. This is the orchard. There are lots of gardens here, and a lot of walls. But there's no green door in this wall, down here. This must be the end of it all. No, it's not the end. I can see trees above the wall. Oh, and now I see you, Bert. You're up there at the top of the tree. Gone. I believe that tree was in the closed garden. And the bird was in there too. I feel sure it was. There is a wall around the place, and there is no door. I've been into the other gardens.
There were nothing to prevent thee.
I went into the orchard.
There were no dog at the door to bite thee.
There was no door into the other garden.
What garden?
The one on the other side of the wall. There were trees in there. I saw the tops of them. A bird with a red breast was sitting on one of them, and he sang.
Yeah, well... Ah, here he is.
Oh, yes, that's him. That is him, isn't it?
Where has there been, the cheeky little beggar?
What kind of bird is he?
Doesn't thou know? He's a robin redbreast. They're the friendliest, curiousest birds alive. Watch him pecking about there at that molehill, searching for worms and looking round at us now and again. He knows we're talking about him.
always come when you call him.
Yeah, that he will. He gets lonely.
I'm lonely.
Got the little wench from India?
Yes.
No wonder they're lonely. They'll be lonelier before there's done.
What is your name?
Ben Weatherstaff. I'm lonely myself, except when he's with me, pecking round for worms. His only friend I've got.
I have no friends at all. I never had. My ayah didn't like me, and I never played with anyone.
Ah, thou and me are a good bit alike. We was wove out at same cloth. We're neither on us good-looking, and we're both of us as sour as we look, I'll warrant. Yeah, there he goes. Up to the treetop for a better view on us.
What did you sing like that for?
He's made up his mind to make friends with thee. Dang me if he hadn't took a fancy to thee.
To me? Would you make friends with me? Would you?
Yeah, they said that as nice and human as if there was a real child instead of a sharp old woman. They said it almost like Dickon talks to his wild things on moor.
Do you know Dickon?
Oh, everybody knows him. Very blackberries and heather bells knows him. I'll warrant foxes shows him where the cubs lies. And the skylarks doesn't hide the nest from him.
He's flown over the wall. He's flown into the orchard. I can still see him. Now he's flown across the other wall. He's flown into the garden where there is no door.
Yeah, he lives there. He came out to egg there. If he's caught in, he's making up to some madam of a robin that lives among the old rose trees there.
Rose trees? Are there rose trees?
There was, 10 years ago.
I should like to see them. Where's the green door? There must be a door somewhere.
There was, 10 years ago. But there isn't now. None as anyone can find, and none as is anyone's business. Now, don't be a meddlesome wench and poke your nose in where it's no cause to go. Get your gun and play.
They got on well enough with our porridge this morning, didn't they?
Tastes nice today.
It's the same you've had every day this past week or more. It's the air blowing off the moor that's given thee stomach for the victuals.
I hate the wind. It blows in the garden every day. I have to run to keep warm.
That's what's bringing colour to their face and making thee hungry. You go on playing out of doors every day and you'll get some flesh on your bones. You won't be so yellow.
I don't play. I have nothing to play with.
Nothing to play with? Our children plays with sticks and stones. They just runs about and shouts and looks at things.
I don't shout, but I don't mind looking at things.
Get thee out, then.
I prefer to stay in. I like to hear you talk about your mother and Dickon.
I've talked to thee enough today. I've work to do.
The first day in the garden, I met Ben Weatherstaff. But he's too busy to talk to me now. Usually he just walks away.
Leave him be. He has enough to do. Go and run about by thyself.
Ben Weatherstaff hasn't been busy on this path. He's left all these leaves growing right down the wall. Why doesn't he cut them neatly, like he has everywhere else? Oh, is it you, Robin? Where are you? I guess it is you. I like you. I like you. Oh, where are you going? That's your favourite treetop. I've seen you sitting up there before. The first time I saw you in that tree, I was in the orchard. But now I'm on the other side of the orchard. And here's a wall. And inside the wall is that same tree. I'm going to run round the other side and make sure. Oh, Robin, do stay there so that I know if it's the same tree. It's in that garden. I'm sure it is. Down here, through the door. Yes, here is the orchard. Now the tree is on the other side of the orchard wall. It's in the garden no one can go into. It's in the garden without a door. I wish I could see what it was like. Ben Weatherstaff said there was no door, and there is no door. But there must have been one 10 years ago, because Mr. Craven buried the key. It's very strange.
That got on as well with our supper as I did with the breakfast this morning.
Must you go?
I'm supposed to take your tray to the kitchen.
Stay and talk to me.
Hey, I'd rather be here with thee than down in the servants' hall. It's dull down there, and I miss Dickon and all the other children.
Martha?
Hmm?
Why did Mr. Craven hate the garden?
Art thou thinking about that garden yet? That was just the way with me when I first heard about it.
Why did he hate it?
It's cosy by this fire. Listen to the wind wuthering round the house. You could best stand up on more if you was out on it tonight.
But why did he hate it?
Mrs. Medlock said it's not to be talked about. There's lots of things in this place that's not to be talked of. That's Mr. Craven's orders.
But you know the story, don't you, Martha? Oh, I won't tell anyone you've talked about it.
But for the garden, he wouldn't be like he is. It was Mrs. Craven's garden that she had made when first they were married. She just loved it. Her and Mr. Craven used to tend the flowers themselves. None of the gardeners was ever let to go in. Him and her used to go in and shut the door and stay there hours and hours, reading and talking. And there was an old tree with a branch bent like a seat. And she made roses grow over it. And she used to sit there. But one day, when she was sitting there, the branch broke and she fell on the ground. She was hurt so bad that next day she died. The doctors thought he'd go out of his mind and die too. That's why he hates it. No one's never gone in since, and he won't let anyone talk about it.
That's the saddest story I've ever heard. Martha, do you hear someone crying?
No, it's the wind. Sometimes it sounds as if someone was lost on the moor and wailing.
But listen, it's in the house, down one of those long corridors.
Wind's got all sorts of sounds.
Oh, what was that?
The draught gets in the passages. It blew the door open, that's all.
There, I told you so.
It was the wind.
No, it was someone crying, and it wasn't a grown-up person.
Then it was little Betty Butterworth, the scullery maid. She's got a toothache. I must go downstairs. Mrs. Medlock will be wondering what's become of me.
I know it is someone crying. I know it.
The Secret Garden, dramatized by Judy Allen, from the novel by Frances Hodgson Burnett. Mary Lennox, Jessica Marshall Gardner. Mrs. Medlock, Beryl Reed. Ben Weatherstaff, Robin Bailey. Martha Sowerby, Harriet Walter. Mrs. Morrison, Maxine Audley. Barney, Stephen Garlick. Colonel McGrew, Fraser Carr. Pitcher, Brett Usher. Mrs. Crawford, Jane Wittenshaw. Basil, Patrick Rosenfeld. Music was by Elizabeth Parker, and The Secret Garden was directed by John Taylor.